How are you guys? Remember Pastor Mark was sharing on God speaks to us. And this week I was listening to something where this pastor says that when God spoke, things happened. Like there was nothing. And then God said, let there be trees. And he just said it. And there were trees. I mean, how awesome is our God? Hey, he is so powerful. He just says something and it happens. Hey, that's a mighty God that we serve. Then Auntie Jen spoke on the different ways God speaks. How many ways does God speak? 14, okay? But there's probably a bit more. But we said there were 14 ways. And then last week, I shared on how to hear God's voice. When you go quiet, you stop, you look, you listen, and then you just start to write. And, you know, remember I said it was that spontaneous flow of thoughts that comes through your mind that you just start writing. And then when you go back and you read it, it's like, whoa, where did this come from? And it was God that spoke to you. Today I'm going to share with you about how to hear God through the Bible. Okay. And it's going to be awesome. But first, before we start, I want you around your table to discuss if you love someone, how would you communicate your love to that person? So quickly, I'll give you a minute just to discuss the question. Okay. Now, let me tell you another secret, is that Pastor Mark writes the most amazing love letters. He wrote many love letters to me. And I used to read them over and over and over again. But we've got another love letter that we've all got and we're all able to see. God communicates to us through the Bible. And this is his love letter. This here. There's stuff. He tells us how much he loves us. He tells us that he died for us. He told us that one day we'll be in heaven with him and we'll live eternity with him. So this is his love letter to us. But I want you to just watch this video to hear how special this love letter is.
Do you remember when you were in school and you would get one of these from someone you liked? Every day you would wait in anticipation to receive that love letter from that special someone. I remember getting them when I was in school, in middle school, and high school. And I know it's going to sound a little sentimental, but I would actually keep them in a binder. Hey, I know you've probably done the same thing too. As I would read each letter, I got to know the person who wrote it, and it was almost as if that person was right there speaking to me. Today we get these messages in Facebook, through an email, or through a text message. Did you know that God speaks to us through the Bible today? They're his collection of love letters written for us. The Holy Scriptures are 66 books written over a period of 1,500 years. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, in them God speaks directly himself to us. How do I know this? Because every morning, I spend quality time with God in the Bible, listening to him speak to me. In these sacred love letters, I get to know what God is like. I see in them his character of love, and I also get to discover his wonderful plan of salvation. But the best thing of all about the Bible, God's love letters, is that in them, I've come to know Jesus Christ personally. And friend, it's my prayer that as you read the Bible, you'll get to know him too.
So I've found some scripture that speaks to us, that God speaks to us through his word. In Psalm 19, the word of the Lord is pure, giving light to the eyes. The word of the Lord is worth more than gold. They are sweeter than honey. And by them your servant is told to be careful. In obeying them, there is great reward. So if we obey God's word, he promises it that there's great reward. In Joshua, keep his book of the law always on your lips. Meditate it on day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Who doesn't want to be prosperous and successful? I want to be. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. That's Psalms. Isn't that beautiful? His word is like a torch. It shows us how to walk and where to go and where not to go. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it teaches us how to live and how to do good works. David Bowen describes why he loves the Scripture so much, and I want you just to watch this video.
In the beginning, there were words. For no sky nor dirt, rocks nor birds, heaven nor earth, death nor birth had yet been given proper syllabification. So nothing physical had yet entered creation. But despite the lacking of material manifestations, there did hang one true annunciation. Words. Words of God, spoken script, speaking scripture, holy writ, the writing builder, building mountains out of nouns, plants and herbs from active verbs, planting nations in punctuation, preparing solar positions with prepositions. Nature's narrative was rich with adjectives, but man was dirt and needed an additive, so God added his imperative, impairing the dirt of its ability to be sedative. So came the breath of life, the words that made dirt our relative. We are born of Bible, letters formed our limbs. How can I deny God's words when they are written on my skin? In this breath of life, God breathed to begin, an exhalation for the ages, the inspiration of men. You know the words of which I speak. You've memorized them. They are the Pentateuch, Torah, history books, poets, major and minor prophets, synoptic gospels, Acts of the Apostles, and their epistles. They are our scriptures, those ancient divine whispers scribed by enlightened scriptors passed down to modern listeners. The mouth from which the universe was founded is the fount on which our scriptures are grounded. Listen to where the Bible was originally sounded, for it's far better than what we have lobbied or from traditions copied or our own doctrines embodied. That scripture says, that scripture is God breathed. That means the breath that filled the nostrils of the ground, the life blown into dirt, the exhaling heartbeat that made the simple renowned. That is what can be found in what has been written down. So I believe in the scriptures where God has breathed the breath of life, where we find the vows between eternal husband and earthly wife, where saints and martyrs find comfort for their strife and stone hearts come to get cut with a knife. I believe in the scriptures. When God breathed on dirt, he got man. When he breathed on man, he got words. The words are not in the dirt, but in the breath. The breath passes from man to man until they return to dirt, the eternal chain of command, the passing of words. And now the words are in our hands. But so often they're only found behind our lips or on our eyes, within church doors in red and black lines, printed on shirts, our commitments disguise. What we say is truth, our lives claim is a lie. But I believe in the scriptures, for those scribal scribblings refuse to stay on the page, for they give life, so life is required to be paid. The words in your Bibles are not meant on paper to lay, but to be resurrected in your flesh as you die to them every day. I believe in the scriptures, for by them, through them, and to them I was made, for they are the words of Genesis, the exodus of shame. They are the words that form my bones and the ones that will call me from the grave. They are the ink on my flesh, the pen on my tongue. They are the words by which creation has begun and through which recreation will be done. They are the words of God, and we are his listeners. I believe God still speaks. I believe in the scriptures.
Wow, how powerful is that? So there was Adam, and Adam, God created Adam, and he was just this dead thing. And then God breathed on him, and he came to life. And I think that's what Scripture was about. Scripture, it was written by a man, and then God breathed in it, and it became life. And God speaks to us through the Bible. We are to hear God speak, but we have to read it. Now, Pastor Mark and I was very young when I started dating Pastor Mark, and he moved up to Joburg, and I stayed in Durban, and we had been, I mean, we didn't see that much of each other because we were so far apart, and he decided that the long-distance relationship wasn't really working, and so we should break up. And when I first, after meeting Pastor Mark, I felt God in my heart just said that this is a man that you're going to marry. And I knew that this was what God had said. But when he broke up with me and came back to Joburg, it was like, oh, what now? God, did you lie to me? Because where did I get that from? Like, what is going to happen? And because I was having a quiet time and I was reading my Bible, the one day I paged through my Bible and I was reading, and there was a scripture that said, this mountain I will remove. Okay, let me tell you that Pastor Mark had found another young lady here in Joburg, and it was a very serious relationship. And then as I was paging through my Bible and just praying through it, God said, this mountain I will remove. And a few days later, in the middle of the night, well, it felt like in the middle of the night, probably wasn't, but Pastor Mark phoned and wanted to speak to me and said, I'm making a mistake. Can I come back? God removed that mountain. And the only reason why I knew that was because I was reading my Bible. We're going to do two activations now, okay? So firstly, they're going to hand out this piece of paper. And the first one I want you to do is, you see this block here? Okay. You see that long passage there? The top one? Okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to read the top one. And as you read it, you're going to ask God to speak to you. When you hear God speak to you, if there's a word that jumps out to you, a passage that jumps out to you, you're going to stop. And you're going to write your thought. Why did you stop? Why? What jumped out at you? What made you say, this is interesting? And then I want you to write it in the little block over here. Okay, so I want you to read the scripture over there. It's John 14. And I just want you just to read it until something jumps out at you or a word becomes highlighted to you. And then you ask God, okay, God, what's that about? And you write it in this little block over here. Remember, we were talking about the flow of spontaneous thought that goes through your mind? We're practicing that still. Okay. Okay. I'm just calling Makati just to help, just to share what God shared with her.
So basically, what stood out for me was that, you know, the one who loves Jesus will obey his teaching. So, like, the Holy Spirit is the helper, and that, you know, if I trust the Lord, I can do the things that he is doing. And he lives with me and will be in me. So, yeah. Thank you.
Oh, that's beautiful. Is there anyone else who would like to share? I'm sure there's somebody else that God's just like, just your heart is just so full and you just want to share what God is doing and saying to you. No. Okay. Remember, this is stuff that you can use every day in your devotion. And every day you will hear God like you heard him now. Okay. This is a thing that you can practice. And can I tell you, it only gets better. You start off and it's a little bit slow and it's a little bit harder. And as you practice, like anything else, when you play soccer and you start kicking the ball, it goes there, and it goes everywhere. And eventually you can kick it and it goes straight into the goal. And it just gets easier and easier. So the next one is I want you to pray and ask God to please speak to you. Then you read. Okay, we've chosen the passage for you. It is John 15. It's the second passage at the back here. That one over there. And you're going to start reading. And then you look for a word or a phrase or a verse that stands out to you, and you can underline it. And then with that a spontaneous flow of thought, I want you to, on the front page, you can start writing down all the thoughts that come to your mind. Okay? But then you've also got to, because God is a God that loves you and wants to share stuff with you, He wants you to do stuff. Okay, it's either you have to practice something, or you have to forgive somebody, or you have to do something. And so I want you to, at the bottom, write down what action you have to do. So it's the same. So you read through the scripture, you wait for something to jump, a verse or a phrase to jump out at you, and then you ask God, God, what are you saying to me about this? And then you start writing it down. Okay. And I'll give you another few minutes. Okay. I see some of you are still busy. But like I said, you can do this at home anytime. So I've asked Jen to come up and share what God has said to her. And then I'll choose somebody else to share as well. It's just sharing what God has said to you. How hard can that be?
Hello, people. So so I highlighted, but mine sounds like an English lesson more than anything else. So second paragraph, second line. Any branch that gives fruit, he cuts it back so it will give more fruit. and I think that's important so we can realize that pruning is a necessity so that you can get more fruit. And further in that scripture on verse 8, Jesus says, when you give much fruit, my Father is honored. This shows you are my followers. And this sets goals. That's okay, so if you do show fruit, then you'll show my Father that you are my followers. So it's giving you something to achieve to impress Jesus' Father. Don't you want to impress the man? Yeah. And then there are some other scriptures that are repeated, like the words chosen or that love each other. They repeated to show emphasis, showing us that the lesson is important in there.
Deep. Palesa, do you want to come share with us? I mean, you've been writing and writing, and so God's shared lots of stuff with you.
mine is from John 14, and it's the very first one. Do not let your heart be troubled. You have put your trust in the Lord, so put your trust in me. And for me, he's just saying that I shouldn't worry about anything, that I should have faith and believe that everything will go according to his plans, that I should put my trust in him. And whenever I catch myself stressing out over the little things, things that I shouldn't be worrying about, I should just pray. I should sit down and pray so that I remind myself that he loves me and would never let anything bad happen to me that I couldn't handle.
Very nice. You look like you want to share something. Do you want to share? You can.
Hi, everybody. I'm Andile. Oh, well, I'm feeling very scared, but then just a little test of my own. You know, the first one I chose on the first exercise, I chose the part from verse 14 to 27, and then I highlighted the part about troubled or being afraid, and right now I'm the one who's being afraid. So, yeah. Okay, from the second activity that I thought, I took the part, I'm the true vine, and then I also highlighted the part that he prunes, he takes away the branches that do not bear fruit, and then he prunes those that do bear fruit. And then, yeah. So I'd just like to make an example, just typical example, to take Jesus as a tree, and then we are the branches, and then God is the vine master, if I can put it that way. You know, so what this meant to me is that in order for us to have life, we need to be connected to Jesus, for he's the main tree and we the branches. And then if we're not connected into Jesus, or even if we're connected to Jesus, but then do not bear fruit, God as the Father or the vine master will cut us away from him. And when we're not connected to Jesus, we don't have life. So that's what it meant to me.
That's wow. So if we have Jesus, we are connected to him. And he speaks to us then, hey? Amen, amen. So, a challenge. Last week I asked you to to give God 10 minutes of your day and to do the spontaneous flow of thought and to start writing. And maybe this is a bit easier because now you're working from scripture, you're reading scripture, and you're asking God to speak to you, and you do the spontaneous flow of thought because that's how God speaks. He speaks through thoughts. And then you start writing down all that you feel he's saying. And remember, this is by faith. You've become a Christian by faith. You hear God's voice by faith. And so when you, whatever you've written, you've got to believe that this is what God is wanting to share with you. Okay. So I want you, during the holidays, not to go on holiday from God, but to practice these and to see how you grow and what God will do through you and for you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we are your children. And Lord, you said that your sheep hear your voice. And thank you, God, that you do speak to us. Help us just to tune in. Help us to quieten our hearts. Help us not to get too busy during our holiday, but help us just to find that special time, either in the morning or at night, where we can come to you and just spend time writing and listening and having a relationship with you. Father, I pray that each one here today will have an encounter with you during the holidays that will be life-changing and life-transforming. I ask, Lord, that you look after each one of them and bring them back safely next year when we start youth again. God, thank you for these precious lives that you care so much about and that you love so much that you died for them. We love you, Lord, and thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And guess what? This is the last for 2016. So next week, we will see you downstairs in the service. And may God just bless you guys as you practice hearing his voice. Okay, lots of love and God bless, guys. Bye.